United, 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 we stand. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So on Friday morning, I guess more than 1,000 longshoremen there in New York City walked off the job. And early reports, nobody knew why. In fact, I still don't really know why. I have to assume it's some job-related thing where the men said, you know what, and the women said, you know what, no more. We're going to take a stand. We're going to make sure that our demands are heard, that our concerns are heard, that our voices are heard. Because as I've said 1,000 times, the only real power workers have is the right to fold their arms. And as soon as they take that from us, well, I don't know where we end up. But here to talk a little bit about it is one of the guys, the guy who I think first reported on this, which is Cole Stangler. He is a labor reporter at the International Business Times. Cole, thanks for taking time for us.
That's great to be back, Rick.
So tell me, what happened? I guess at 10 a.m. Friday, you had more than 1,000 people walked off the job. Any idea why?
Yeah, so I should say first, I wasn't the first one to report on it. I think a lot of people were caught by surprise, myself included.
Well, you were the first where I found out from it, so you're the first, right, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, usually as reporters, you kind of hear about this sort of thing, you know, when unions are planning strikes, you know, when strikes are planned. The leadership sends out press releases. They have communications people working,
sure,
on this. But the thing about this one was I think it caught everybody by surprise. You had, like, news choppers that were just flying over these docks where there are 6 different terminals in the New York, New Jersey area. The busiest port complex on the East Coast, 3rd biggest in the country, kind of discovering this as it was happening. There were no press releases. No one was prepared for this, at least not the press. And there was no indication the shipping association knew about it. No indication, for that matter, at least publicly, that the union knew about this. And so I think it just caught everybody by surprise here.
Any sense of what triggered it? I mean, you know, you look at this, and this is a mass disruption, and I think a show of power for one. And I'm thinking, you know, is this part of a contract negotiation? You know, what is it? And I'm curious, any inkling of why?
So a couple of things have kind of surfaced, and it seems like the ILA, the International Longshoremen's Association, the union that represents the workers, that apparently did not approve of this in the first place. What they've now said, telling the press, is that this basically hinges around ongoing disputes about the role of the Waterfront Commission, which is this very unique agency that's unique to the Port Authority in New York and New Jersey, that was actually created in the 1950s, if I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the film On the Waterfront, which kind of chronicles this time on the docks in the 50s, where there was this kind of influence of organized crime and other concerns. And so
right,
you have this agency that kind of has roots at that time in the 50s. And so the concern is now is that workers are and members of the union and actually the Shipping Association as well, kind of accusing the Waterfront Commission of micromanaging collective bargaining on the docks and kind of micromanaging the way that the union wants to conduct affairs. One thing in particular that I've heard people talking about is these mandatory and drug tests and kind of aggressive drug testing, which people are saying constitutes harassment, and they're using it in kind of retaliatory ways. So I mean, in short, they're kind of these ongoing frustrations with the way that the Waterfront Commission, this other agency, is kind of putting itself in the affairs of the union and the workers. So
basically what you're saying is the pendulum seems to have swung from one bad side, maybe all the way over to another bad side. And this is just the pendulum going too far. And the workers saying we've had enough.
Right. I mean, that's certainly what we're hearing coming from their end right now.
Now they're back to work today. Are they? I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, they are back to work today. I mean, and this is actually another interesting part of the story, I think, is that you had this walkout take place on Friday. Again, union was not prepared for it, and also apparently in violation of the contract, which has a no-strike clause, and an arbitrator ruled them, told them to go back to work, and they apparently went back to work later that night. Work is apparently fairly light on the weekends. We're working on the weekends, and now we're back on full schedule today. So, you know, I think you were talking about the right to strike and kind of the significance of that. And I think that in some ways this is a story that illustrates the limited ability to use that tool in the labor movement, where this is something that right now, if you have a group of workers that decide they want to go on strike, oftentimes that can be in violation of the contract, or it can be not sanctioned by U.S. labor law. So I think it kind of illustrates that gap right now.
Well, and this is where I've been saying for a while, Cole, that, you know, this idea of coming up with labor laws to foster industrial peace is now falling apart. That social contract between workers and management is now being ripped apart through, you know, years of bad decisions and court cases like Friedrichs that's coming up. And at some point, that has to go away, and you have to give workers back their, you know, their ability to fold their arms.
Right, right. I think you're absolutely right. It's a legal question. It's a question of the kind of contracts that the unions end up negotiating. So absolutely.
So any idea where this is going to go in the future? Because I understand the union, the leadership was taken completely off guard, which is what kind of draws me to this story of member engagement and member activity and really a strong militant membership, which is what I'm hoping happens across this country if that Supreme Court case goes the way I think it's going to go. But this, to me, is a good story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so there was a report that came out that suggested that this originated within one local and that the union leadership actually knew about it. And so that report came out, and then you had the president of the union, Harold Daggett, saying, quoting him, "I was furious that these guys walked out," and kind of denying that and saying how angry he was this happened. So in some ways, yeah, this does seem to really underline a tension between the rank and file and the leadership.
But for me, you know, you look at this and you look at a lot of the stories that have come out on the labor front and all of the attacks that have gone on against workers over the last 20, 30, 40 years. And, you know, there's got to be a point at which, you know, people are taking a stand. And, you know, if it's not going to happen politically, it's going to have to happen with people doing things like this and things that we're going to have to get used to, I think.
Well, I mean, I think the other really remarkable thing about this is, I mean, this was just over 1,000 workers. It's a lot of people. Not massive, massive. It's just over 1,000 people. And what they did basically was went out on strike at 10 a.m. And by the afternoon, the Port Authority was telling trucks not to head to the ports and effectively disrupting, shutting down operations for a few hours. And again, like I said, this is the busiest port complex in the East Coast, third biggest in the country. And they caused a significant amount of disruption. And this is, you know, just over 1,000 workers. So I think the kind of ability to disrupt that they have, I know that's like a kind of a buzzword these days from the employer side of things, but I think just the power to disrupt, in a lot of ways, the story kind of highlights that power when it's used.
But here's the thing, and this is why I see that the wealth class of this country and the employment class wants to destroy unions. But this, as I think we've said, this didn't come from the union. This came from the membership. This came from the workers. And to me, I'm hopeful when I see things like this, because you can't say the evil union did this. It's the workers who did it. It's the people who did this. And it's, I think, a lesson of power, a lesson of organizing that I think all of us need to take something from.
Right, right.
Just that simple. Any indication of where this goes from here? Will there be repercussions against the union? I mean, have you heard anything like that?
I think that there's some ongoing lawsuits that they have against the Waterfront Commission. And frankly, those haven't gone as well as I think the union wanted them to go. Basically, courts have ruled that this commission can go and modify and has kind of powers to overrule collective bargaining agreements. So that's a big issue. You know, but I think as long as there's that tension there, I think we might see some of these issues continue to resurface. Also highlights just the ongoing labor disputes. Forget just the East Coast, but on the West Coast too.
Yeah.
This is a kind of an area of intense tension, and we saw all the disputes on the West Coast last year as well. These ports bring in millions and millions of dollars of revenue. And you have unions there that are basically fighting to try to redirect some of that to the workers.
Yeah, well, at the end of it, it's about wages, hours, conditions, and it'll be interesting to see where this takes us and what comes out of it. But, Cole, I appreciate you taking time for us and filling us in on what's going on.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rick.
Always great talking with you. Cole Stengler, labor reporter at the International Business Times. You want to take a look at his article? You can go to thericksmithshow.com, click on Cole's name, take you right there. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.